Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Wednesday, November 22nd. I guess we can say it's for the 23rd and 24th and going into the weekend as well, as this will be our Thanksgiving episode as we'll be off for a couple of days with the holidays coming up. Your Detroit Pistons go into the holidays at 11-6 in first place in the Eastern Conference's Central Division despite a disappointing 28-point blowout against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Monday night in Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. The Pistons go into Thanksgiving at least ahead of Cleveland. They're one game ahead of Cleveland as I tape this podcast on Tuesday night, but Cleveland will play on Wednesday night along with most of the NBA and could be creeping closer to the Pistons before you carve the turkey on Thursday. The Pistons, however, are off until Friday night, where they're going to be playing at Oklahoma City. Again, a program note that there will be no Locked On Pistons podcast on Thursday, and there probably won't be one on Friday either. Don't plan on it. Unless there's some breaking news, then we'll hop on the microphone here and pass along some news and analysis if there's something of note that goes on over the next couple days. But you're rid of me until Monday, and that's when the Pistons will be in action again after Friday's Oklahoma City game on Monday night in Boston, taking on the Celtics, who, again, entering Wednesday's game, have a 16-game winning streak and are all the rage in the NBA as it starts the season so far. 14 games on the Wednesday slate for the NBA with 28 teams playing. The only two teams that are not playing are Detroit and Indiana. So that's weird because both of those teams just played on Friday night, and both of them were playing in a stretch where they were playing three games and four nights in three different cities. So I don't know. Isn't that crazy? Don't you think they could have just played that game that was Friday night in Indiana on Wednesday night along with all the other teams in the NBA, especially when it seems like the night before Thanksgiving, although also the biggest bar night of the year, it seems like that's a pretty locked-in NBA game night that the Pistons are the one of only two teams not participating in. So a strange schedule anomaly. I know that there's a little bit different of an NBA schedule this season, given that the they're trying to stretch out the season a little bit in a longer span of time and still fitting in those 82 games. But a strange one here for the Pacers and the Pistons that they're not playing on Wednesday night. But anyway, we're going to be talking today about Stan Van Gundy in Time Magazine. You've probably heard by now about his essay. We kind of passed over it a little bit this week, but I wanted to at least give you the nuts and bolts so you can be informed about it. We're not going to go a deep discussion about it or get political or anything like that, but wanted to make you aware of that. We're going to preview the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like I said, on Friday night, the Pistons are going to be playing the new-look Thunder, reigning MVP Russell Westbrook, along with Carmelo Anthony and Paul George, a couple of exciting acquisitions that the team made in the offseason. We're going to be talking about how that season's going and what to look for in Friday night's game. But I also got some favorite tweets, some things I saw over Twitter over the last week or so, and some other things to look forward to on the podcast going forward, too. So I wanted to mention that today is Wednesday, so that means it is Draft Wednesday on Draft.com and also on the Draft app. So go ahead and download the Draft app or visit Draft.com. Set up an account. Use promo code LOPISTONS, all capital letters, LOPISTONS, and you'll get $3 free added to your account, which is, coincidentally, the amount that you need to get into our Locked On Pistons Wednesday draft that's already set up right now. We're going to be drafting at 6 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday. Follow me at screen name or handle or whatever they call it these days, Matt Shook, all one word, MattSchoch. And if you follow me, I will invite you into the Locked On Pistons draft. We might be full by the time you hear this on Wednesday, but if it is filled up, I'll make another smaller one going forward. We've had great response. Everyone keeps getting back into them each week, and they're enjoying it and asking me when the next one's going to be. Games start at 7 o'clock, and like I said, all sorts of teams in action, so there'll be a full slate of players to choose from. So be friends with everyone else in the chat, in the room, in the draft, and set up your own drafts, set up your football drafts over the weekend. Who knows, maybe you'll meet your future spouse, and she'll be into NBA fantasy basketball, and that would be a great thing. So if you know any women like that, send them my way as well, by the way. But I want to talk a little bit about Coach President Stan Van Gundy, who's also journalist Stan Van Gundy. This story kind of started The day after the election last year, when Donald Trump got the nod from U.S. voters in the Electoral College, I should say. And the next day, the Pistons were heading to Phoenix for shoot around. And Van Gundy noticed, he was retelling this story to reporters at the shoot around, but he noticed that on the bus ride over to the Phoenix Arena, Talking Stick Arena, I believe it's called, noticed that the team was a little bit down, and he kind of figured that maybe it was because of they had just gotten blown out by the Clippers a couple nights before. But Aaron Baines spoke up and said, no, it has to do with Trump getting elected. And Van Gundy went on from there on a six-minute tirade, calling Trump openly and brazenly racist and misogynistic, and went on to say that that day that he was, Van Gundy, was ashamed of our country. Again, I'm not going to get into, you know, the political aspect of it, the left and right side of it for my aspect, but just wanted to pass along so you were aware. So recently, last week, Van Gundy was published in Time magazine with an essay that he put together. He said later on that he was approached for writing that piece by a marketing group that deals with athletes, and he did it. He wrote, he drafted the essay on a plane ride back from the West Coast trip when the Pistons had beaten the Clippers and the Warriors and then lost the Lakers. He put it together on that plane ride, but he also noted that it was edited by several people. And Mitch Albom had a Q&A with Van Gundy in Sunday's Detroit Free Press. By the way, I'm a Mitch Albom fan. I know that might put me in a little minority sometimes. Some people think he's kind of washed up or the Michigan State ethics thing, but I ride with Mitch Albom still. So he's the guy I grew up reading, and I'm still in a Mitch guy. So anyway, he the main takeaway from Van Gundy's essay was he had talked about how the athletes kneeling for the national anthem are patriots, and that he kind of went on about how that's kind of the American ideal, is standing up for things that are certainly unpopular at times. So Mitch talked to him about the reaction to that piece and how it all came about. But he admitted, or Van Gundy admitted to Albom, that he kind of regretted saying that he didn't have any respect for the people who voted for him when he was doing that tirade in Phoenix. And that's Stan Van Gundy for you, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's what he is, and that was kind of the gist of Mitch's column, is that he's going to speak his mind, and that's what the coach of the Pistons does. And he's using his platform to express his views, and nothing wrong with that. And just wanted to pass along that news there. Also, a lot of the Pistons fans on Twitter and on Facebook, when people are talking about the attendance woes, a lot of the Trump supporters and the right-wing folks jump in and say it's because of Van Gundy's politics that people aren't going to games. And certainly, I'm sure that is true for some people. They're doing their form of protest by not showing up to Pistons games, but that's just kind of, I think it's a vocal minority of people that are pointing that out. So that's just the news on Stan Van Gundy and Time magazine and Donald Trump. And again, we're not going to get into the politics issue of it. Maybe we will in a future episode. We might have a guest or two to talk about the issue and Stan Van Gundy and politics and all of that, but just wanted to pass along all of that. But we're going to get back to basketball a little bit here and talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder, Russell Westbrook and company there, Billy Donovan coaching the team. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44, which is a key demographic for a lot of companies. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So if you want to learn more about getting in touch with the fans of the Detroit Pistons worldwide, and especially in the Detroit metro area, email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out. I guess I'm still rolling with the Yahoo address, Mitch Albom and Bill Simmons, so you can tell that I'm the oldest man on the internet alive. Yes, sir! Later on, I'm going to be talking about some tweets and some other things across the internet that caught my eye this week. But first, we're going to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder, the opponent for Friday night. The Pistons are going to go to the Heartland to take on Billy Donovan's team from the Western Conference. First, you can follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore after that. And follow Locked On Pistons also at Locked On Pistons for the handle there. I was also on the Locked On NBA podcast on Tuesday, and there's a Facebook page for that that was recently created called Locked On NBA Network. David Locke, the Utah Jazz play-by-play guy from the radio, does a good job with that show, and they had me on to talk about the Pistons' start and some interesting factoids about Tobias Harris that you want to catch as well. So moving on to the Thunder, going on to Wednesday night's game that the Thunder will be hosting against the Golden State Warriors, another Kevin Durant homecoming. The Thunder are 7-9 going into that game. You can catch that one at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight on ESPN as to do a little advanced scouting of Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, Westbrook, and the boys. Going into that game on Wednesday, the Thunder were rated 17th offensively and 3rd defensively as a team in the league. That's basically how efficient a team's offense can be in scoring the ball and how efficient they can be from stopping other teams from scoring on the other end. So for context there, the Pistons are 10th offensively and 15th defensively as a team so far. We all know about Russell Westbrook. He was the MVP of last year after averaging a triple-double like Oscar Robertson did way back in the day. Westbrook went for 31.6 points per game, 10.7 rebounds, and 10.4 assists in a performance that wowed a lot of fans across the country. I thought the fact that he won MVP was a farce. I'm one of those anti-Westbrook guys, always have been. I thought that James Harden and Kawhi Leonard and probably LeBron James deserved the award over him last year. I thought it was kind of a shameless grab at stats. He's an outstanding player. He's an outstanding talent. But I just think that, the team, and as after, and I know this is kind of a hindsight thing, and it's after the regular season voting for MVP, but they got throttled in the first round by Harden and Houston, Harden didn't even play that well in that series. And then Houston got throttled by San Antonio in the second round, and then they got swept by Golden State in the third round. So that tells you kind of all you need to know about Oklahoma City and how well they were preparing to play winning basketball with Westbrook going for all those numbers last year. And then furthermore, the success that was had that has been had in the early season by Westbrook's former teammates, because all you heard last year was that Westbrook had no help. He had to do all these things by himself because his teammates were garbage. Well, then they made the trades. They got rid of guys like Victor Oladipo and Sabonis and Doug McDermott and Enes Kanter. Those guys for the Knicks and the Pacers, those guys are playing really well right now. And they were going nowhere playing with Russ. So I think that's more about him not making those guys better, not giving those guys a chance to get better. I mean, you got 82 games to get to get some chemistry going, to get the young guys along, and Westbrook didn't do that. And Billy Donovan has to take some of the blame for that as well. And really organizationally wide, because it felt like it was the team trying to keep Westbrook around for as long as possible and give him all the stats and accolades that he wanted after the Durant fiasco from the offseason. And they got him to sign a 5-year extension this offseason, so I guess a little bit of credit to the organization for keeping Russ around, for better or for worse. But I thought you could honestly use the fact that Kevin Durant left in the offseason, knowing he'd take a lot of crap for leaving Oklahoma City and joining the team that beat his team in the Western Conference Finals, the Golden State Warriors. The fact that he left, in my mind, kind of disqualifies Russ from MVP consideration in some ways. You couldn't coexist with the only guy who could make your team special, and I think that's kind of detrimental to the organization that you couldn't do that in one way, and certainly not so valuable that you should be the MVP in that upcoming season. I know that you could, we weren't inside the locker room. We don't know the relationship between Durant and Westbrook, but I think you can pretty much figure it out, read between the lines of Durant, all the things he talks about of loving the chemistry and loving the way the Golden State Warriors play basketball, and then looking back at what he was playing with in Oklahoma City, it's kind of pretty black and white that he was kind of ripping on Westbrook and ripping on the way that his star teammate kind of handled his business, especially on the court. But speaking of coexisting with superstars, the Thunder brought in Paul George from Indiana, and then what was considered a steal for Oklahoma City on July 4th when they got him for Sabonis and Oladipo. And then during training camp, they traded for Carmelo Anthony from the Knicks. They gave up a pick, McDermott and Kanter in that one. And they're trying to get those three guys to work together. Now Westbrook, he's getting 20.1 points a game going into Wednesday's game, 8.7 rebounds and 9.7 assists. His numbers are way down counting-wise. With the biggest one was that 10 points per game that he's down scoring-wise, which you would expect to some extent with bringing in some talent like George and Carmelo. It's interesting if you look at the scoring breakdown that those guys, actually the leading scorer is Paul George at 21.0 and Melo's getting pretty much exactly 20. So all three of those guys are within a point of each other and all scoring around that 20 point per game mark. George and Melo, they're two guys that are prototypical long and talented wings, not the unicorn freaks like Porzingis or Giannis or guys that the Pistons have already dealt with this year, but the type of players that still the Pistons might have trouble defending. They got Andre Drummond inside, who's not a great on-the-ball defender, but a nice rim protector, and then they're great on more guard play defensive-wise, but this is maybe a little bit of a hole for the Pistons there. These guys are bigger and longer when I'm talking about Paul George and Carmelo. They're bigger and longer than Stanley, and Avery Bradley probably can't guard them for a sustained length of time because of the size disadvantage that he'd be up against, so it might be a bit of a mismatch for the Pistons defensively, so that'll be something to watch on Friday night. The Pistons are more, like I said, more equipped to handle those guard-heavy teams. Tobias Harris should be maybe in for a little bit of a tough night on the defensive end, so you might not want to take him in your draft.com for that or draft app contest for that night. He might be a little winded on the other side of the court offensively. So you might see a lot of Anthony Tolliver. He's kind of the secret weapon off the bench for Stan Van Gundy when going up against some of these longer, talented players. So you'll probably see plenty of AT there. The Thunder apparently have had a lot of troubles finishing in fourth quarters this year. They've had big leads and had them evaporate. So don't turn the TV off on Black Friday at night if the Pistons fall behind by double digits in the middle quarters there. So otherwise, looking at the roster, Steven Adams is the closest thing they have to another star type of player inside. The Australian, he's a quality player. It'll be interesting to watch his physicality versus Andre Drummond inside. He's a tough guy and a legit talent. Other top role players for the Thunder include Jeremy Grant and Andre Roberson. Roberson's the fifth starter. He's kind of a defensive ace for the team. Raymond Felton, alive and well. He's a little rejuvenated. And Patrick Patterson off the bench, the corner three-point shooter who's made a long career of that shot. He was a universally lauded and nice value free agent pickup, but his contributions have been minimal so far this year. Maybe league executives knew something this summer about him, but he's only been playing 15 minutes a game and scoring 3 points per game so far. He had knee surgery in the preseason, so he's kind of still catching up on things this season so far. And an old friend alert for the Thunder. They have Kyle Singler at the end of the bench for Oklahoma City. He was part of that trade a few years ago where the Pistons traded him along with some others, DJ Augustine and others, to get Reggie Jackson at the deadline a few years back. Singler's only played in 2 minutes of one game about 10 days ago, and he's been inactive for all but that game and one other. So not getting any run, the former Piston in Oklahoma City. I don't see a spread on the Thunder-Pistons game yet, as it's still a few days away, and the Thunder have another game in between. But the ESPN matchup predictor as of Tuesday night has the Thunder with a 67.7% chance of winning the game. So I guess that's all you need to know. Thunder will wrap it up, according to the ESPN math there. I kind of hate those matchup predictors, by the way. You'll notice that as the season goes on. But we got some favorite tweets to pass along and some other things to expect from the podcast going forward after the holidays. So stay with us for that. I wanted to wrap up today with a few things from the internets to get you over to the Thanksgiving holiday. From time to time, I check in with the Twitter, and some things that I thought might be of interest to the listeners, I'll bring up here. So Dave McMenamin, the ESPN reporter who follows the Cleveland Cavaliers around, this was before the Pistons game with the Cavs on Monday. I don't know if this was from Sunday or Monday, but he mentioned that Channing Frye, while the Cavs were shooting around in Little Caesars Arena in Detroit for the first time, quote, "I'm not going to lie, a $5 Little Caesars pizza is good. Domino's can be hit or miss, ... too saucy," end quote. So I'm going to take credit for that one. Me and Channing Frye, we stand together in our cheap pizza, proud. Again, I went on the rant a couple weeks ago about how proud I am of the cheap pizza that Little Caesars Pizza is, and I'll ride for that. So me and Channing Frye, we can get hung over and eat some pizza together any day of the week as far as I'm concerned. And he got some, reading the comments from that tweet, some of the fans around the NBA were ripping on Little Caesars. So me and Channing, we ride together no matter what. Another follow, if you're on Twitter, you need to follow Coach Billick, Brian Billick, the former Ravens head coach who won a Super Bowl. Why do you need to follow him? Because he's always tweeting about the Pistons. This week he said there was a one of the followers of his, after a Pistons tweet, says, why does Billick love the Pistons? A better question, and he responded, better question, why doesn't everyone love the Pistons? Well, why does Billick actually love the Pistons? It's because his daughter is married to John Luehr. He's the father-in-law of John Luehr as of this summer. Luehr grew up in Minnesota while Billick was the offensive coordinator for the Vikings back in the Dante Culpepper days. And John Luehr went to grade school with Billick's daughter, Keegan. And then he went to Wisconsin, had a nice standout career, got drafted, and did what any good, smart athlete would do. He made a lot of money and reached out to the hot chick from the schoolyard growing up on social media and met her up with a date in Philadelphia. I'm getting a lot of this information from an August article from Keith Langlois on Pistons.com. But met her, and it went from there. They dated while he was still playing with Phoenix. And this past summer, they got married. So John Luehr is his father-in-law is a noted broadcaster and former NFL head coach, Super Bowl champion coach Brian Billick. So you may see him at Little Caesars Arena from time to time. But give him a follow on Twitter and let him know you appreciate the Pistons' love as well. Another tweet from the week was talking about how during the Cavs Pistons, or for during the Timberwolves Pistons game on Sunday, this was referencing that game. Basketball Reference, which is at @bball_ref, R-E-F. You should follow them on Twitter for all sorts of fun statistical intricacies throughout the season. It says, last night was Andre Drummond's 36th 20-point 15-rebound game, 10th most by a player under 25 since 1983. Here's the nine guys ahead of him on that list. Shaquille O'Neal, Dwight Howard, Kevin Love, Charles Barkley, Tim Duncan, Hakeem Olajuwon, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Karl Malone. Now that's eight Hall of Famers and then a Boogie Cousins and an Anthony Davis in my book. And I think that Anthony Davis will probably end up in the Hall. DeMarcus Cousins, who knows at this point? I think his career could go in a lot of different directions. But again, Basketball Reference, that's the one to follow for that type, those types of tidbits there. And those are the things I wanted to pass along from the internet this week. Also wanted to plug that the podcast will be coming back strong after Thanksgiving. We're going to be doing some good stuff. I got some interviews lined up. You know, casually right now, another surprising Pistons fan who comes from New Zealand, and then some of the other writers who follow the team on a day-to-day basis on the internet and in newspapers as well. So we're going to catch up with some of those guys as the season goes on. But I wanted to mention one more time, it is Draft Wednesday, so get on draft.com or download the Draft app. Use promo code LOPISTONS. Follow me at Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, all one word. And we'll get you in the draft. Locked On Pistons Draft Wednesday app. We're going to do a few more of these throughout the year as well. So you should get in as soon as possible so you can start banking some of that money and get all of it that you can before the promo ends. Although you can continue playing throughout the season, throughout the baseball season, throughout the NFL season, all that good stuff. So, again, no show on Thursday, probably not on Friday. We'll be back on Monday to talk about the Thunder game. If news breaks, we'll jump on and we'll throw out a podcast as well. So don't worry about that. One more plug, my friend Chad Livengood, the great Detroit journalist, he has a new podcast through Crane's Detroit Business called Detroit Rising. And I thought some listeners of the Detroit Pistons, Locked On Pistons podcast might be interested to hear some stories about how the city of Detroit is on the come up, as you all know. So again, thanks for listening to Locked On Pistons, and have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. Enjoy your time. Enjoy some Lions football. Pass the stuffing. Don't put any cranberries or nuts in it either. Make it like the stovetop. And enjoy your holidays, everyone. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.